And Lord, bless the words of my lips and meditations of my heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning in the epistle lesson, we hear St. Paul's warning and advice to the Ephesians. And he makes a statement there. He says, to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so there we have, you know, his kind of understanding and suggestion of what we should do in light of how the world around us happens to be. Now, as we have talked often in Bible study, you have to be very, very careful as you're reading the New Testament, especially the epistles, and also the writings of St. Paul, when he starts talking about the world being evil. And I want to be very clear up front, something I've explained over and over again. He's not talking about this ball of rock that rotates around the sun. He's not calling this world evil. In fact, we know that when God created the world, he called it good. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get a little tired of hearing things and natural disasters that are talked about, and it says, well, this is an act of God, or this is, you know, a natural evil and everything. And I remember in seminary writing a paper against the use of the term natural evil, because it can't be a natural evil, because evil means that there is a malicious intent. And now, we may not like hurricanes, and we may not like tornadoes, but they are not evil. Because, you know, the hurricane doesn't form, even though we give it a name, it doesn't form and go, well, I tell you what, I'm going right up Charleston Harbor today. It's the act of the way the surface pressure and the air pressure and the current temperature works. That's where the hurricane goes. It has no mind of its own. And to try to make a mind of its own, we end up with God being a very bad guy. And the hurricane comes and you call your insurance and, oh, that's an act of God. And God ends up only doing bad things. And so we have to be very careful any time we talk about evil in the world that we're not talking about the natural result of how the world works. When we talk about evil in the world, we are talking about when people and the worldview that walks against God, that decides in and of themselves they're not going to do what God has asked them to do, and either intently desire to follow the person who has walked against God, or the desire to follow the intents of their own heart and not give it any name, and be kind of out there as free agents on their own, which, as we know, will follow the one who is against God. When St. Paul is writing, and the New Testament authors are writing, and they talk about the world being evil, that's what they're talking about. And so St. Paul tells us in this thought, he says that we are to walk in a certain way, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And he's saying that everything is leading into one way, and the people are walking against God, and we are a unique creation and a unique force dropped in the middle of that worldview. And our job is to redeem the time that we have. Now, here's something else that Paul talks about that oftentimes we miss. We have no idea how long a time we have. It could be argued that St. Paul fully intended for the Lord to come back before his death. That could be argued well. And as you read a lot of the passages of the New Testament, it is like St. Paul is expecting fully for the Lord to return at any moment. Now, here we stand 2,000 years after that event, and we are still, though, at the place to where we don't know how long the Lord has until he returns. Could be tonight, could be tomorrow, could be in 2,000 more years. We don't know. All we know is that we are living in that last time, meaning that the fullness of God's revelation has come in the person of Jesus, and there's no other full revelation going to come after that until he returns and calls his church home and sets right what was made wrong. And so we are called in this location, in this time, to redeem the time that we have. Because we look out and we see two forces at odds with one another. We see the forces, if you wanted to pull in other images of the book of Revelation, we see the forces of fallen Babylon and everything that it is trying to do to walk against God, and then the forces that we are with, New Jerusalem, dropped in the midst of this to call people to be in communion with God. And so St. Paul tells us that in this situation, not knowing how long we have, but willing to look around us and recognize the problems in the world, he says that we must redeem the time that we have. How do we do that? First of all, is that we have to learn what God's will is really about. And I mean go down to the meat of it, go down to the very root of it, and understand what does God want for me, not just me, but the world as well. Because what we come to understand is that what God wants us to do, it's not so much a personal thing, it's not so much a selfish thing, but He wants us to walk in His ways so we can then reach out to the world around us. It's not a I'm safe, I'm at base, let's wait till everybody else gets home too. It's a I know where I stand, I know in whom I trust, now my job is to go out into the world and to save others, or to call others into this relationship that we have. That's the goal. Now this can be, when it goes the other way, a very quick story, but a true story. I was talking to a lady one time, and this is honestly what she does. And I may have shared this story before. She will ride around and around and around the parking lot when she goes to the mall, looking for a parking space close to the opening of the mall, because in her understanding, God owes her that. And so she really expects that God intends for her to walk, not to walk far to the mall, because God wants us to be happy, God wants us to be prosperous, and in the way her logic works, that means that she has a convenient parking spot to the mall. I tried to say, well, maybe part of God's is we are able to walk, you know, and or maybe part of God's promise is we have a mall to go to, you know, or money to spend. Nope, couldn't see any of that. Her understanding, and there are people that you meet every day, that God's will is 100% selfish. God's will is what I want. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to have a big house. God wants me to have a big car. God wants me to have a lot of money. That is not God's will. Now, as we follow God and make good choices, oftentimes those choices end up good. During the early times, oftentimes it's called the Puritan work ethic. And everybody wondered how all these Puritans could amass a lot of money. Well, if part of your philosophy was not to go to bars, was not to dance, was not to waste money, guess what? You ended up having more money. And if you couldn't do these things, well, why not work? And as you worked, you know, you amassed more money. And so you did. You had two sets of groups. One group that kind of threw away a lot of money, and one group that didn't. Well, guess what? They had a lot of money. Now, that didn't have anything to do with necessarily God's will, but the choices they made. Well, I'm here to tell you, though, that God's will is much deeper than that. God's will is not what's in our bank account. God's will is not the kind of car we drive. God's will is for us to love Him in all we do. We say it every Sunday. Unless we say the Decalogue, we say it every Sunday. To love God with all we have and to love our neighbors ourselves. That's what God's will is for us. To love God with all we have and to love our neighbors ourselves. And we have to do that. And the second thing he says is not only to learn what God's will is really all about, which is for us to get at work in the world around us, but to take every opportunity available. Don't waste the time that we have. Don't waste the time that we have. It's amazing if we all of us, not just me, not just you, if all of us looked at the amount of time that we have, how much time we waste doing things that are really, in the big scheme of things, not that important. There was a group of us talking just last week at base, and they were talking about better ways and times to set aside to read the Bible. Now, you know, our church helps us in this because it's the understanding that even though we don't have the availability to do it publicly, we will participate in morning and evening prayer every day. And morning and evening prayer incorporates scripture reading. So our church helps us with the understanding of every day, in the morning time sometime, in the evening time sometime, we're going to read Scripture and we're going to pray. A lot of traditions don't have that. And so Bible time is kind of whenever you can get it, you know, sometimes in the morning and the evening and everything. And somebody brought up a very good point that I've heard other people say. Their commute to work, and depending on where you live, Charleston traffic can be just downright horrible. And you can be stuck in traffic for an hour going 5 miles. And they said what they started doing was they knew that they had an hour commute one way every day. So 2 hours a day. They went to the local store, bought the Bible on CD, and now instead of just kind of downtime, they listen to the Bible while they're in the car. Now, funny thing out of that, he said, you know what? We found out we don't get as angry because you're stuck in traffic for an hour and you're only going 5 miles. And so it helps. So Paul tells us to redeem the time that we have. Take an honest stock of our day. Those 24 hours that God gives us. Take an honest stock of that and look at how much of that is spent in finding out what God's will is and doing that in the world around us. Because the same words that Paul said 2,000 years ago are as new today. The days are still evil. The time is still at hand. We still have much work to do in the world. And we, as the church, needs to understand what God wants us to do, to learn all we can so we can go out and share that with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.